Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, when it comes to money and finances, I've got nothing if not questions. A lot of questions. And had a really interesting conversation about credit cards and building credit recently with a good friend of mine. And so, of course, we reached out to Todd Krentz, president of Krentz Financial Group, so that we could run things by the expert. And Todd Krentz joins us now. Hi, Todd. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Amy. How you doing? Hi, Chris.
We're doing pretty well. Okay. I had a really interesting conversation with some friends. One of my friends came here, gosh, it would be like 30 years ago now, from Peru. And he was just talking about what it was like being an immigrant, coming here, coming to a new country. And he said, things you don't think about, like you don't have any credit. Like you have no past financial history. Getting a credit card was hard. Getting a loan was hard. And he, his wife is American, so I think their family was able to help them get started. But he was talking about the different credit card options because the first couple of credit cards that he applied to, he was denied. And he actually worked for, it was Famous Bar at the time. And everyone, I guess, who worked there had to have a Famous Bar credit card. So he got one by default. It was because of his job that he got one. And we just all started talking about how old we were when we first got our credit cards and why it's important to build credit. So I wanted to get for your thoughts for people who are listening now. Let's start with kids, teens, college age kids. When should you get a credit card and why?
All great topics. And I think for kids and younger people, starting early is okay. I think that having a good foundation and a good baseline education on the responsibilities that accompany a credit card are really, really important, because you can easily get a card, or I shouldn't say easily, but if you do get a card, you can easily abuse it and it becomes a problem versus a benefit. Mm-hmm. But I think there's great vehicles to allow young people to establish credit and start to learn about credit at a decent age. Some things to think about for kids is, the first thing that you can do that's very simple is just open up a bank account, and that'll help establish a financial footprint for kids. And then, some other things that may be helpful or things to consider discussing with a family is that kids can apply for a secured credit card. This is a concept where you provide a refundable deposit. Basically, you're providing cash collateral before you use the credit card, and the deposit is typically your credit limit. But what's neat about that, and some financial firms do offer these types of cards, it's a great tool to build credit. You can also, and I think you mentioned this with your friend from Peru, you can also try to partner with someone in the U.S. or partner with a friend or family member that can add you to their credit card, and their positive credit history can help you build your credit out. And that's another way to help establish a credit track record. I will say that whoever you're partnering with or hosting, make sure that they're responsible and make their payments on time, because while it can help you if they're a good credit card user, they can also hurt you if they make late payments or they're overextended on their credit.
And how do you want to use that card? So when you, isn't it something like 30%? That's kind of your credit limit. You really don't want to go over 30%. Ideally, is that right?
You're correct. I think the best way to use it is keep utilization low. That's how the credit card companies term it. And Chris, you're right. It's roughly around 30% for beginners. If you can keep utilization in that 10 to 15% range, it may be even more helpful. And some other common sense things, but it's worth mentioning, you know, pay the bills on time. Obviously, that's very basic with credit cards. There's also a benefit to, if you have an account or two open, even if you don't spend on it, sometimes it's good to leave that account open, because the length of the credit history also matters. And keeping older accounts open shows that you've got an extended timeline of credit and you've been a responsible user. So those are a couple of things to keep in mind, too.
Also, the most recent numbers that credit card debt in the United States is at over $1.2 trillion right now. So a lot of people are carrying debt. And I suppose that includes people who just have, you know, normal credit card debt, some people who've maxed out credit cards. So let's say you're in that position where you have just, you know, a lot of people have, you know, they're trying to stretch it. And, you know, maybe the salary isn't what they wanted it to be. And the last few years have been challenging for everybody. If you do have a ton of credit card debt, how do you go about paying that down?
With a lot of discipline. I think that's the only way to answer your question. I look back, and this is quite a while ago, but I look back when I had my credit card through college and I graduated college with a pretty heavy balance. And my mindset, not having a responsible outlook on using their credit card, was I can afford the monthly payment. It's no big deal. But it's remarkable how quick that interest accumulates and how it creates a scenario where it's very, very hard to get back in front of it and pay the card down and ultimately pay it off. What I would recommend anyone that's in that situation is sit down, focus on your budget, and prioritize paying that card down first before any other discretionary spending is done. And it will ring out some of the things, fun things that we all like to spend money on, like a quick stop at Starbucks and, you know, buying the latest and greatest tennis shoes or whatever your vice is. But when you look at your credit card statement and realize you're paying 20, 22, 25% in interest, it's remarkable how harmful that can be if you don't have a disciplined approach to getting back in front of that.
You mentioned the Starbucks run. It's funny because obviously, you know, paying off your credit card every month is huge. I know, like, debt scares me and interest scares me. But also, even if you're paying off your credit card debt, I don't like numbers. Numbers, I mean, every year at tax season, I cry. I, like, talk to my dad and cry. I mean, it's so pathetic, but that's just where I'm at. And pretty much every month when I get my credit card statement, I'm convinced that my card has been stolen. I'm like, oh my gosh, I think my card's been stolen. And every month, to my great disappointment, I realize it has not been stolen. And so if someone hates it, like, hates looking at the numbers. And again, this the same coffee discussion we had with my friend. She is so good at looking at every single purchase. If someone hates it, what are baby steps that someone like me can take to just have a better handle? I know on budgeting and just being careful and realizing what a $7.60 Starbucks run can eventually add up to.
So, Amy, what I would say with that is, go through the pain of reviewing one of your statements. Pick a month that you've got a lot of activity. And I'm just trying to think out loud with this, but pick a month that you've got a lot of activity and identify your vices, I guess, throughout your discretionary spending throughout that month. And just recognize that I visit Starbucks a lot. And every time I go, it's $7 to $8. And I visit XYZ, Whole Foods, for example. That's another place that might be a little bit more expensive than some other retailers. Just identify where the discretionary money is being spent. And the baby steps would be to pare back, you know, three or four visits or five or six or seven visits a week to Starbucks to one or two, and try to approach it like that, to have some discipline being worked into the discretionary spending that you're recognizing on a month-to-month basis.
I would think, like, I was just thinking too, subscriptions that you don't realize that you still have. Or I fall for this all the time. It's sign up for this subscription. You'll get the first month free, and all you have to do is cancel. And of course, we forget to cancel.
Todd Krenz, president of Krenz Financial Group, is with us. We were talking about the K-shaped economy earlier today, Todd. And can you explain that better to people, and you know, how that applies to the current situation?
I did catch a little bit of your segment earlier, and I feel like you guys did a very good job of explaining the K-shaped economy through the lens of the consumer. I do agree that the consumer is bifurcated today, and I think this wedge between the haves and the have-nots has really gotten so wide, but it's been evolving over the last 10 to 15 years. But if we step back and look at what does the K mean, I guess what I would start with is, in simple terms, just have your listeners envision the letter K. And the upper arm of the K would be the winners, and the lower arm of the K would be the losers. The first time that I was that I ever heard about this K-shaped economy or K-shaped recovery was back in COVID. And if you go back to 2020, just think about who the winners were coming out of COVID. It was any company that allowed you to shop from home, allowed you to stream from home, or allowed you to conduct business from home. So, you know, Amazon is a shop from home and stream from home, so you can kind of check both of those boxes. But really, any e-commerce type company did extremely well in an environment where none of us could leave our house. All the restaurants, these are the losers, the restaurants, the air carriers, hotels, anyone that works at bars, cruise lines, travel. So that was kind of a flash from the past during COVID. But if you fast forward to today and you look at the upper arc of the K, and again, back to what you both talked about earlier, through the lens of the consumers, it's the haves, and the lower arc is the have-nots. You know, a statistic, and I know you shared some numbers earlier, but you know, households in the top 10% of incomes, those are people that are earning around $250,000 or more per year, account for nearly half of the U.S. consumer spending. This is the highest share on record, and it's amazing. And then, you know, on the flip side, the lowest income households, they're seeing flat spending year over year, and a lot of them are being pinched because prices, even though inflation's come down, prices are high. You know, gas has come down. That's been a big plus, but stuff at the grocery store is still really expensive. And you start to hear that. You know, I'll put it in the context of the stock market and talk about the upper arc of the K. If I had to have you guys guess who the upper arc of the K is in the financial markets, what comes to mind? I'll ask you guys that.
In the financial markets, like the companies themselves?
Yeah, just financial, I think, is one. You know, we've heard about AI a lot.
I was going to say,
tech.
Tech and AI is like exploding.
Yeah. You're spot on with that. You step back and think about the winners today. These are companies that are thriving from digitization. You think about premium spending. You think about asset appreciation. So, and I play the rewind tape on recent earnings reports. You think about companies like Google. They posted their first ever $100 billion quarter, and it was driven by cloud and advertising. Microsoft, really, really strong growth in cloud computing and services. Meta, investing huge amounts in AI, and they reiterated they're going to spend a lot more next year, too. The market wasn't real excited about that. There was a little bit of pullback, or actually a pretty healthy pullback in Meta after that was announced. But then you think about luxury and premium consumer companies. Hilton, high-end hospitality bookings are strong. Luxury travel bookings are up 38% year over year. Financial service companies are doing well. American Express decided to increase their annual fee on their platinum card to $895 a year. So they're all participating in the upper arc of the K. But then when you flip to the other side and you hear comments from McDonald's, for example, you know, the CEO warns of a two-tiered economy and lower income consumers are cutting back on spending. I'll use Chipotle as an example. They're facing pressure from middle market diners. When Chipotle announced within the last week, they adjusted their forecast down. And this is the third consecutive quarter of lowered earnings adjustments. Delta Airlines, budget travelers are pulling back. You know, you look at the automotive sector and you're hearing comments that $20,000 vehicles are extinct now. And retail, more of the budget retail type stores, dollar stores, for example, their traffic is focusing on trying to find deals within these lower priced retail stores. So I feel like this bifurcation and bifurcated consumer and bifurcated economy, the K-shaped economy, is there's some truth to that.
Todd Krenz, really president of Krenz Financial Group. We appreciate you as always. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you. Good stuff.
Great information from Todd Krenz. And
really
we appreciate you for we appreciate you listening into the show today. With you until 12 o'clock, Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
314-436-7900 to text into the show. Pensacola Jones has reached back out. We haven't heard from Pensacola in a minute.
Pensacola
Jones says that house party parent whose house was destroyed is my high school friend. We have some stories of our own. I wonder if it's at the same house. What if they destroyed that house multiple times?
Wait, that okay. He's friends with the dad?
That house party.
Yeah. The callers.
Whose house was destroyed is their high school friend.
Oh, sorry. The one that just happened.
The
one in O'Fallon.
Oh, I was taking it the caller.
The 70s. Is it the one that happened in the 70s or the one that happened a few days ago?
Yeah, we need
ago?
A little more detail, Pensacola. Damn. This is how you got in the mess of being called Pensacola Jones. You didn't know the detail.
Pensacola Jones.
We need you to... Need you to get it together. Another message says the only thing worse than people who say sody is people who say supper.
supper is old fashioned.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's like my grandparents.
Right. We got to move on from supper.
No, I like supper.
Well, you can keep using it.
Well, I don't use it. I'm fighting for the right of people who want to use it.
Yeah, go ahead. Do whatever you want to, but it's bad. Had a party at my house, this text message says. Mm-hmm. It was just supposed to be a few friends. Somehow ended up hundreds of people from all different schools. I had an inch deep beer on all the floors.
Oh.
People put their cigarettes out on the floor. My house was totally trashed.
I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of destruction.
Are you a fan of cloning?
Not at all, actually. Not at all.
Then you're going to hate this. 6-time Super Bowl winning quarterback and Fox Sports broadcaster said this week that his dog is cloned. Tom Brady.
Wait, that's like right. Barbara Streisand? She cloned her dogs.
Well, I suppose so. He made the announcement that Colossal Biosciences, a venture capital-backed biotech startup, made an acquisition of another animal cloning firm called Viagen Pets and Equine. And so that is, he made the statement after he became an investor in this company. And his dog, Junie, is a clone of his late dog, Lua.
More like Junie to move on.
Yes, he says, I love my animals. They mean the world to me and my family. A few years ago, I worked with Colossal and leveraged their non-invasive cloning technology through a simple blood draw of our family's elderly dog before she passed.
Okay, that, first of all, does not sound like how people talk. That sounds like a prepared statement.
No, I think that's exactly how Tom Brady speaks.
I had moderate to severe sadness when my dog died. That's what he sounds like.
Moderate to severe sadness?
Yeah. Listen, this is going to be a much bigger conversation for another time. But I don't like it at all. And I do think it's unhealthy. This cloning your dog flirts with that idea of using AI to have conversations with a loved one who just passed or, you know, the hologram versions of a dead person. I don't like it. I think it's emotionally malformative and unhealthy. So
that's pretty judgy of you.
Oh, I'm judging. I don't think this is good at all.
Well, it might be for the person who's lost their pet.
But I'm glad he worked with Colossal and leveraged their non-invasive cloning technology through a simple blood draw of our family's elderly dog before she passed.
Well,
that's
I know
not
this.
Natural. I hope his broadcasting is better than that.
Suspect.
Ugh.
I know this much. There is only one Will Leach. He is a writer for New York Magazine and MLB.com, Cardinals fan, and the editor emeritus of Deadspin, the once really great, great sports website, which is no longer great. I'm not sure it exists anymore, unfortunately, but it once was really, really good. We'll talk to Will Leach about the Cardinals offseason when we come back on KMOX.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's Ranji, Amy Mark scores with you. And I know we're going to talk baseball, one of the greatest World Series of all time, the offseason as well. But we're also going to talk a little New York Marathon because joining us now is someone who just completed that prestigious race, Will Leach, writer for New York Magazine and MLB.com. Will, thank you for joining us, and congratulations on the marathon.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to getting feeling back in my feet sometime by Thanksgiving. That's actually what I'm hopeful for this year. But it's one of the great American races, and to see a great city. And I lived in New York for 13 years, and I was used to being the guy that came out in the stoop and drank and cheered everybody on. So to be on the other side of that was a very cool thing. It's a very great kind of community event. It was pretty cool to get to do it, even if everything still hurts.
You may never feel right again, Will. That's the end of you.
People like to wear their medals out on the street afterwards,
yeah.
But I didn't, because I was afraid it would be a bad advertisement for the race because I was limping so much. They're like, oh, okay, I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to do what that guy did.
Well, I think a lot of people probably limping, they would get it. I will say, so I'm a marathoner as well, and I've never done New York, and people say that while the Boston Marathon obviously has the sentiment and the honor of, you know, qualifying for Boston and running Boston, I've heard people say that New York might be the most spectacular marathon to run ever, even Boston included.
It is legitimately kind of moving, to be honest, just the way that the people, I mean, there's just people everywhere. One of the things I always say is, like, don't wear your headphones. Like, don't wear your headphones. Don't just, like, enjoy the crowd that kind of bring up. Now, you have to remember, it's not the crowd that's lifting you up and moving you. It's your legs, and they will rebel against you if you don't pace yourself and make good decisions while you run. But it is really, truly, it's just a great experience. And even if you don't ever run it, though, hopefully you get the opportunity to do so, to come out and be a part of it is just really, really fun.
The baseball season is over, Will Leach. Before we get to the Cardinals off season, which we will definitely talk about here, this was a pretty spectacular World Series, and a lot of people think that it might be the best one that's ever been played. I think we might be a prisoner of the moment in that a bit. What do you think?
You're going to have a hard time convincing this Cardinals person anything was better than 2011.
Yeah, right,
but I will say it was pretty incredible. I actually, one of the pieces I've been working on this week is trying to figure out, comparing it actually to 2011, what was the more brutal way to lose? The way the Rangers lost in 2011 to be down to your last strike twice in consecutive innings, or to do what happened to the Blue Jays, which was like the close play at the plate, the ball. For me, the Barger hit that Paw has caught in center field was, to me, that was the moment when he hit it. I was like, oh, the Blue Jays are winning the World Series in about a half a second. And so there's so many times like that. Really just incredible. I would say the series has been so fun, was so great that I think it's actually kind of muted, at least temporarily, some of those complaints about the Dodgers winning it again, right? Don't get me wrong. I think that people are still kind of frustrated with that, and I think they don't like that the Dodgers can get all these players. But it was so kind of spectacular. And also the Dodgers were like in such danger. You couldn't watch that series and be like, wow, the Dodgers are immortal. Who can ever touch them? Like, they almost lost so many times in that series. One of my biggest things I always talk about is, it always seems right before there are labor fights, which of course are coming at the end of next year, baseball always seems to be at its absolute best before that happens. There's always a great thing that happens right before labor fights, just to remind us of how great the game is. And the World Series was certainly that.
All right, so let's get on to this Cardinals offseason, which we know is going to be different. They got a new president of baseball operations. But just how different do you suspect the roster will look?
It will be fascinating, and for me, some moves seem pretty clear. I think if they can find a ticker for Arenado, that they'll do that, and I think Sonny Gray could be on the table. I actually think there's an argument for keeping Gray, but I do think those would be the less surprising trades. The question is really how thick are they willing to cut, right? Like, to me, the big pivot point on this is probably Brendan Donovan. The idea that, what happens with him will be, I think, a little bit of tell, not just on how active the offseason is going to be, but really how realistic Bloom in the front office sees contending in 26 and frankly maybe even in 27. You know, Donovan could bring you back a lot of stuff that could really, like, Donovan is a very valuable player, and I think will be seen as a very valuable player throughout baseball. Think of how valuable Tommy Edman was to the Dodgers these last two World Series, and Donovan's a better player than Tommy Edman is. And so I think there's just a lot of they only got 2 years left, so I think if him maybe Newt Barr, who I don't think would get as much, but is also someone that would be a free agent in the next couple of years. Really, the decision seems to be: are they going? Is this not just a 2026, but a 2027? Them not being like major contenders. Now, I actually, to be clear, I don't actually think that means they're tanking. I think that people get kind of are rebuilding or so on. I think it's not so much that as much as what the thing that I'm kind of excited about this front office is for them to really kind of take a cold, fresh, but also kind of cold-eyed, clear look at, okay, let's put aside what we've invested in this player. Let's put aside what we need from this. What is the best way to rebuild and reconstruct this organization? And I think because of that, everyone is kind of on the table. And that is what, to me, is what's most exciting. It could be dramatic changes. It could be, but one thing I don't imagine is another year of, all right, let's just hope these young players can do it. This is their chance, the runway. I don't think we're going to see any more runway stuff. It's serious now. I think it's going to make for a pretty exciting offseason.
I have retired the word runway. I will.
Oh, my goodness.
My goal is to never say it in 2026, even if I'm on a plane. So I think that what the Cardinals have going for them is there is still time, though. You know, I think for some of these guys, and would you make the argument, though, Will, and I could be wrong about this, because I kind of feel like, even though the division was good last year, that it is still a winnable division. Am I wrong about that? Is this the kind of division that, even if the Cardinals are where they are right now, that, you know, in other years past they could compete, but what about now?
I agree. I think that I don't think that they need to be building to make sure they have the best team heading into the season in 2026. But I think there is this is not the AL East, right, where you've got the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the Orioles and whatever the Rams are doing. Like, they've got all of these talented teams there. Really, I look at it just the way the rosters are right now. Like, the Cardinals last year, very frustrating team, didn't really do a lot of things we're kind of hoping they would do. They still were reasonably competitive for most of the year. If the Brewers, the Cubs, I think, are probably going to take a little bit of a step back. The Brewers kind of had this historic season where everything went the right way. But you don't look at those rosters and think, wow, those guys are monsters. The Cardinals shouldn't even try to compete with those guys. I don't think that building the roster to try to beat those teams in 2026 is necessarily the correct strategy. But I also don't think that you can go into 2026 being like, oh, we'll lose 100 games. It's fine. Like, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think there is enough talent around St. Louis and I think there's this good construction of there's a lot of the roster moves that they're going to have to make this year. I think we'll clear up some things and make a more kind of more logical roster, which I do think can be competitive. Do I think they'll be the favorites? Of course not. But I also don't think they'll be picked last in a lot of places. I don't think they should be.
You know, speaking of building rosters, and you were also talking about, you know, the potential of a labor stoppage when it comes to Major League Baseball. When you're looking at the payroll disparity between a team like the Dodgers and a team like the Brewers or even the Cardinals, how does a potential for a lockout affect those teams based on what their payroll is, meaning bigger payrolls weather the storm much easier, maybe exponentially easier than teams that are trying to keep things tighter?
I think a lot of times people will use the lockout and sometimes, frankly, even use payroll disparity as an excuse to try to make their teams better. I think you see that, and just to kind of make money without actually having to spend it. You know, I think what's always funny about when people talk about payroll disparity, what they're really saying is, well, the Dodgers are pouring their money into this team, which is technically what we should want our teams to do, right?
Like, that's right.
Like, the Pirates make a lot of money and they don't pour it back into the team. And so now I do think it can be frustrating to see, wow, they got Shohei and they got Yamamoto. But for what it's worth, what people are really upset with at the Dodgers are two things. One, that they spent a lot of money. What they're really upset about is that they're smart about it. Like, the Mets also spend a bunch of money, but they didn't even make the playoffs, and they're like a historic joke in a lot of places. Like, I think the Mets are going to be better, but but also when you looked at the Dodgers, did you see the bottom of their lineup during the World Series? Did you see their bullpen? They clearly don't just have the 25 best players in baseball. And I think I think sometimes the payroll disparity, I just don't know. Like, I know the Dodgers just won two World Series in a row, and that I think will be used as ammunition in the fight, in this fight, in a lot of ways. But the idea that like look at all the teams that made the playoffs this year. Look at all the teams that have been fighting for spots, or they're making that have the opportunity that this is the first repeat champion we've had in 25 years, right? Like, so I think that the idea that I think certain what you'll really see because of the labor stuff, I think, will be a hesitance to give like big multi-year deals for anyone other than the top players. Like, Kyle Tucker will get that big deal, and like some of the big guys will get big deals. But look at someone like Pete Alonso, for example. Like, I don't know if someone's going to give that guy a huge 3-year deal if they don't know what the payroll structure is going to be in 3 years. So I think the being able to weather the storm, I'll put it this way. I don't think there's going to be any baseball. If there is a stoppage next year, and to be clear, there have not, whatever people have loved to talk about Rob Manfred, and I think a lot of it makes sense, and there's some fair stuff. He's never actually lost any games to a labor thing. He's never lost a single game to labor. To COVID, they did, but not to labor since he's been commissioner. And so I think it's clearly in his best interest to not have that happen. But if it got there, trust me, the Pirates, the lower teams' payroll owners, they're going to make it through too. I don't think anyone's going to be in any sort of danger. So I just think a lot of that now is rhetoric, I think, to push for a salary cap. And I'll put it this way, if the owners really are going to insist on a salary cap, I think we will lose games, because I don't think the union's ever going to stand for that. And that's the nuclear option, I think, for both sides.
It's everybody's best interest to not lose games. I mean, if they lose a couple of weeks, okay. But you don't want to lose half or a full season. I think that could be really devastating for a sport that's gained a lot of momentum lately.
No question. You know, I think people get fired up with all of, you know, all the scandals in baseball, whether it's performance enhancing drugs or gambling or you know, players or owners malfeasance off the field. The notion that like nothing is more damaging than this. I think it's more damaging than labor stuff. And I think one of the things that's hard too, because I don't think it's fair to boil it down, or really accurate to boil it down to, well, it's just billionaires versus billionaires. It's much more complicated. This stuff all filters down throughout all of baseball and really throughout a lot of economies. But when this happens, that's how people see it, particularly when people are struggling, when people are having their own financial problems and their own concerns. They kind of check out. You know, you have to have – baseball has to be about more than just how much these guys are getting paid and how much the owners are bringing in, how much they're fighting about CBAs. It has to. It's the only thing that makes this thing work is this idea of this romanticism, this how much fun this game, the World Series was, how enjoyable this can be. No one is thinking about those things which are what, when they're watching the game. But when there's a labor fight, and this is all what 2026 is going to be about, it's going to be a subplot to every single thing going on in baseball in 2026 until this gets resolved. The more and more people think about that, the more I think potentially existentially perilous it can be for the game.
Will Leach, I guess last thing here, I wanted to ask you one more Cardinals question before we say goodbye. And I don't think we've talked since Chaim Bloom has taken over as the president of baseball operations, keeping the coaching staff, adding a couple of positions. They're doing, it seems, a lot of positions added at the minor league level as well, structural level. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I mean, this has been one of the primary complaints about the Cardinals the last few years is their inability to do that, the lack of roving instructors, the idea that, I mean, we've heard about it in the minor league systems, the idea like, wow, the Cardinals have lost some of their instructors, or they don't have the roving guys, they're not doing a lot of things the Cardinals have always done. It feels like in the last couple of years we've actually seen that manifest itself on the major league level, from whether it's Ivan Herrera not struggling at catcher, or Jordan Walker struggling in the outfield, or you know, a lot of like basic stuff that the Cardinals have always taken care of well, not being taken care of. I don't think we're going to see the results of that for a while, in the same way we didn't see the results of them not doing it for a while. But I do think everything they've done so far, I think, has been stuff that the Cardinals clearly needed to have done. And so that's exciting. It's cautious optimism, but the idea, it feels like they're saying the right things. So far, they're doing the right things. It may be a while till it manifests, but so far, I haven't seen anything that's... You look around some of the decisions that are being made among other teams on Major League Baseball right now, and I'm like, okay, the Cardinals are not doing that. They seem to be making some good decisions in a way that I first do no harm. They always say don't do stupid stuff. I think that's... so far, I don't think they're doing anything stupid. I think they've generally made the right calls.
That is Will Leach. You can catch him in New York Magazine, MLB.com, and the Seeing Red podcast with Bernie Miklas. Thank you again, Will. Good to talk baseball with you, and congrats on the marathon.
Thank you. I'm going to go limp to lunch now.
Good luck out there. That is Will Leach, and he is the absolute best Cardinals fan, and a lot of thoughts on the Birds. You should listen to that podcast with Bernie Miklas. Again, Seeing Red happens during the baseball season. We have our question of the week. And we'd like to keep you updated as to how the polling is going. But Christmas music?
Yes.
Are you already there? Are you waiting until after Thanksgiving? What are you doing? We'll tell you what the question of the week is when we come back on KMOX.
I love it.
Love the song. I got to tell you, Johnny Mathis is not my favorite.
Okay.
Of all the Christmas, like the traditional Christmas artists, are the ones I always think of, you know, the Sinatra, Martin, and all the other ones. Mm-hmm. Not my favorite. Bing. Johnny Mathis doesn't do it for me.
You know who Johnny Mathis does do it for? Matt Pajeski.
Oh, Pajeski.
He might be the best.
Would you please share the little story?
Well, this is at least what my mom tells me, is that when I was little, if I was getting ready for bed, I'd say my prayers. I'd say, God bless my mom and my dad. And God bless Johnny Mathis.
That's so weird. It's adorable.
Wow.
And he was only 17 at the time.
He still gets tucked in at night.
That's right. And I'm still thanking God for Johnny Mathis. He's the best.
Well.
That's so adorable, Matt.
I need my mom to call in and confirm that.
That you prayed for Johnny Mathis?
Yeah.
Is Johnny Mathis still alive?
He's close.
See if he is, because I think we should reach out and tell him that.
If Johnny Mathis is alive?
He's alive, and he's 90 years old.
Okay, we need to get the people, Johnny Mathis's people, we need to tell them that story.
We can't have him on, because then I have to tell him he's not my favorite. Oh. I just can't.
You don't have to tell people that.
It's already out there.
He's not listening.
Somebody's going to get to him and say, hey, there's some show in St. Louis. They said you're not their favorite.
But I think once he gets to know who you are, he'll be glad that he's not your favorite.
I disagree, because once he finds out how much I love Christmas and everything that goes around it, and he's one of the singular things I don't, then he's going to feel pretty bad about himself.
I don't think so. I think you'd feel worse if you liked him. Kind of like Alex Jones. You don't want to be Alex Jones'
favorite.
No, that
doesn't make any sense, because Alex Jones likes weird stuff. I love 95% of the Christmas stuff. That what I'm saying is you're the one thing, Johnny Mathis, I don't like.
Don't say that.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
That's so rude.
I don't like his style.
Can I just say, unless you think, oh, Ronge doesn't like Christmas. When Ronge was a kid, for Halloween, twice, I think.
No, just once.
Just once.
Yeah.
He went as a Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's how much I love it.
How adorable is that?
Great.
And he showed us a picture of him with his Christmas tree costume
on. Pretty damn cute, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh. That's what I think about whenever I feel like I can't stand you. I think about you as a Christmas tree, and it's very redeeming.
So our question of the week, and you can only participate by going to Chris Amy KMOX, that is at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter, and you can vote in our poll of the week. And that is, when do you start listening to Christmas music? You have four options. It's after Halloween, after Thanksgiving, only in December, or I never stopped listening, which means you're a year-round Christmas person.
Wow.
So let us know. And you can come in and vote at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. It is on our Twitter page right there pinned at the top, and you can find it very easily. When we come back, we're going to talk to Hancock and Kelly about the elections from last night around the country, what they might mean as far as the temperature goes in the country of both political parties and how people are feeling. Hancock and Kelly with us next on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.